Hi, I'm Peter Canik, working as open source evangelist at One Identity, working on sudo and syslogng. And today I will try to answer the question, why to look centrally? Let me give you a quick overview of my talk. First, I will try to emphasize the importance of central logging. Then why you should create a dedicated log management layer. As a syslogng guy, I will show an example syslogng configuration, how to implement it. And finally, I will talk a bit about one of the possible futures of log management. I will talk about OpenTelemetry. So, why central logging? First of all, it's ease of use. I mean, you have to you have one place to check your log messages instead of needing to log in to many different hosts when you are trying to figure out what happened on your network. It's also availability. Logs are available even when the sender host is down. And it's also security. Logs are available even when the sending machine is compromised. Let's go into more detail on each of these topics. First of all, my favorite as a lazy person is ease of use. I mean, if you have one host, then it's easy. You go and check your log messages, and that's all. If you have two hosts, then checking these log messages on two hosts takes roughly two times more time. It's probably still easier to check to log into two different hosts and check your logs than implementing proper central logging on your network. On the other hand, if you have 10 hosts on your network, checking logs on each of those hosts takes 10 times more than on a single host, and implementing central logging can save you a lot of time. And it's especially true if you have a lot more machines. I mean, with 100 machines, but even with just 50, security and operations cannot really function without properly implemented central logging. For many of us, it seems to be obvious, but even at IT security conferences, it's something new for quite a few people. Availability is the next topic. As I mentioned, logs are available even when the sender host is down. Why is it important? Because you do not have to go to the host, try to reboot it just to be able to see why it's inaccessible. You can check the log messages, see that there is a hard drive failure, and go directly with a new hard drive to the machine, restore it from backup, and you will have a lot shorter downtime than without checking your log messages. And it's also security. Once a host is compromised, usually the first thing the intruders do is modifying or removing log messages. But if your log messages are collected centrally, then the intruder cannot easily modify or remove the log messages. Of course, if they have access to the central logging, then you are doomed anyway. But it really helps you to reconstruct what happened. Ease of use and availability are for your own benefit. It's not a requirement, but security locks are required almost everywhere, especially in healthcare and finance. And central logging is mandated by various compliance regulations. Just think of PCI DSS, HIPAA, and quite a few more. And often these require you to store log messages for years, depending on the use case. Once your organization grows, you will have most likely also more computers and more log messages. Not just that, but with a small organization, just a few machines, you will most likely have just a single tool analyzing your logs. But as soon as you have multiple departments, they have multiple requirements, and each one will want to use a different tool to analyze log messages. Often these come with their own log collectors. You will also need to solve long-term log storage, and analytics tools or various databases use a lot more resources than just storing log messages in text files. Like that's why a dedicated log management layer can simplify your life in many ways. Not just simplify, but also save you resources. Instead of using a different collector for each of your analytic tools, you can collect you can use a single tool to collect log messages, saving you computing resources and also networking resources, which is especially important in a cloud environment, but also it's not really difficult to congest networking resources on a local network either. You collect your log messages centrally, and then you route the log messages to various analytics tools. To do this, you can use message parsing, log enrichment, filtering to make sure that each destination receives only the log messages what they really need. You can also achieve long-term log storage for compliance at the log management layer. There are quite a few open source tools to achieve these goals. In OpenSUSE, you can find rsyslog and sysloging, but there are quite a few more tools like nxlog, logstash, fluentd, and probably even more, not on my radar. Most things I explain here applies to any of these tools, except probably for the sysloging configuration I will show you later on. So what is sysloging? It's a logging daemon with a strong focus on portability and high-performance central log collection. It can run on Linux, like OpenSUSE, but also on FreeBSD and on quite a few other operating systems. The focus is high-performance central log collection, so it's especially well suited for a log management layer. And it was originally developed in C, but you can also extend it in Python or Java as well. It has four major roles. It's not unique to sysloging. Probably some of the features are, but most of these are generic for the rest of the applications I mentioned earlier. So it can collect log messages, process them, filter them, and finally store them somewhere. Storage is not always storing locally, but forwarding to another destination like a database or another or a central syslog server or whatever. So the first role is collecting log messages, and here sysloging can collect system and application logs together, which can provide quite useful contextual data for either side. it supports a wide variety of platform-specific sources like Devlog, Journal, Sunstreams, and others. It can also receive log messages over the network, using both the legacy and the new syslog standards over UDP, TCP, and encrypted connections. And it can collect logs or practically any kind of text data from applications through files, sockets, pipes, and so on. And if none of these sources suit your needs, you can extend SysLogNG using Python. And I have seen implementations for an HTTP server. So you can collect messages over HTTP or a Kafka source and others implemented in Python. The next role is processing log messages. You can classify, normalize, and structure log messages with built-in parsers, like CSV parser, JSON parser, key value parser, and many others. You can also rewrite log messages, and you do not have to think about falsifying log messages here, but for example, anonymization, like removing credit card numbers from log messages as required by PCI DSS. You can also enrich log messages within SysLogNG, like creating additional fields based on the message content, you can mark login failure in the log messages and so on. And you can also use GeoIP, which means that you can turn IP addresses IP addresses to geographical information, and you will easily see that if connection is coming from your country or from Russia, China, or another suspicious country where you do not have any business at all. You can also reformat log messages like when a destination needs a specific format, like many analytics tools are picky about date formats or require to receive messages in JSON formatting and so on. And you can also use Python here, implement any of the above features, enrich log messages from databases, or even do filtering, which leads us to our next topic, which is message filtering. It has two main uses, discarding surplus log messages, like you do not want to store debug level log messages except when you really need your those debug logs, as often there are 10 times more debug level messages than anything else. And you also use filtering for message routing, like making sure that any authentication related event is routed to your SIEM system. There are many possibilities how you can do filtering. It can be based on the message content, various message parameters or macros. You can use comparisons, many different filtering functions. And best of all, you can combine any of these using Boolean operators. Finally, you have to store your log messages somewhere. Traditionally, log messages were stored to flat files on the local host or sent to a central collector over the network using the syslog protocol, and log messages were saved to text files over there. Nowadays, there are a lot more possibilities where you can store log messages. You can store them to various SQL databases, even to big data like Hadoop. You can use various document stores like Elasticsearch or MongoDB. Use Kafka or other message queuing systems, or use various cloud destinations like Telegram or Slack or other services using the HTTP destination. And of course, as I mentioned, you can extend Syslogenji in Python, so you can easily create your own destination. We have destination drivers which are implemented in Python, for example, AWS S3. Let's talk a bit about log messages. When you look into your WordLog directory, then you will see that most of the log messages follow the format of date, hostname, and some text. Here on the screen, you can see an SSH login message. And if you take a closer look at it, you will see that the text part is an almost complete English sentence with some variable parts in it. It's pretty easy to read by us, humans, and they were originally designed to be read by humans. But at that time, there were probably 100 log messages a day, and you could easily read those log messages each day yourself. But nowadays, hundreds of messages are generated in just a single minute, and these messages are barely read by humans. Instead, you look at alerts and reports, and it's very difficult to create reports and alerts from freeform log messages. The solution for this problem is structured logging. In this case, instead of freeform log messages, you describe events with name value pairs. For example, you can describe an SSH login message with an application name, a username, and a source IP. The good news is that Syslogenji and many other applications are built around name value pairs right from the beginning, like date, facility, priority, program name were all name value pairs right from the beginning. Parsers in Syslogenji can turn unstructured and some structured data into name value pairs as well. So what is message parsing? Practically, it's creating a name value pairs from interesting message parts. You can do this also with unstructured logs, like we have a parser called ButtonDB, which is using an XML database to describe log messages. And if you have a log message described in your XML database, then you can parse out interesting information from the log message, like the username or IP address or others. And there are also parsers for structured logs, like CSV parser, JSON parser, XML parser, key value parser, and others. And you can also combine these parsers, and we have quite a few combined parsers in the Syslogenji configuration library. So we automatically create name value pairs from sudo logs, from Apache access logs, Cisco, and quite a few others. Why message parsing is so important? It can help you in many ways. For example, it can help in filtering, in routing and alerting. If you only know that, yes, it's a log message coming from a host, that doesn't really help you much. You can just simply store it. But if you parse it, you can also see that it's you can check what is the username and send a Slack message immediately if you see a critical user like root in the log messages. And it's also easier to discard surplus logs if you know what are inside the log messages. And it's also good for storage. Once you have your messages parsed, you can reformat your log messages for the various destinations. Not only that, but you can also save only a part of the log message if you parse them. I talked to quite a few users, and one of them saved over $1 million a single month just by making sure that instead of 20 kilobyte log message, which includes lots of information, only two or three fields of these long log messages were forwarded by SysLogng after message parsing, and the network traffic was just a fraction of what it was originally. The parsed name value pairs are not only used for within the logging application, but also when you use your analytics application later on for reporting, alerting, and dashboards as well. Here, I want to show you a very basic SysLogng configuration, just to show you how it works. It always starts with a version number declaration. As SysLogng is improving a bit in each new release, but it's backwards compatible as well. So if you have a configuration which you prepared for a given SysLogng version, then it will work. If you have the version number declared at the beginning, then it will work the same way many versions later as well. The next line is include scl.conf, that is the SysLogng configuration library. As I mentioned, it has many interesting configuration snippets included, like parser for sudo logs, Apache logs. The Elasticsearch destination is defined there, as it's built around the HTTP destination, or Slack, or Telegram, or others. So many things are in it. You can skip it, but then you lose lots of functionality. The next three lines are various building blocks. You can see here a source defined for local log messages, a destination for var log messages, so for a file, and a filter for what is often used for var log messages. And the heart of the configuration is always the log statements, which connect all of these building blocks together. You can have multiple sources, destinations, filters, rewrites, and so on, and you can reuse these building blocks multiple times in different log paths. Next, I will show you a longer example configuration. This one, even if it's long, it's pretty much simplified. It's from a lot longer configuration implementing a central log server for a given use case. In this part, I will show you a configuration which collects log messages from Windows. Those are coming in XML format, so they are parsed by an XML parser. Then we use the PattenDB parser to find a specific log message and find an IP address about network connections from these log messages. And if we find this, then we send an alert to Slack and also save all of the log messages for short-term storage, dashboards, easier search to Elasticsearch, and save everything to text files for long-term storage and compliance. So here are the various building blocks listed. First, source for collecting log messages from the Windows clients. Then we defined an XML parser and a PattenDB parser. Here you can see an Elasticsearch destination. As I mentioned, The Elasticsearch destination is practically just a wrapper around the HTTP destination, which has a lot more options under the hood. Here you only see the options specific to the Elasticsearch destination: the index name, username, password, and URL. And you can see that we use JSON formatting to send log messages to Elasticsearch. We have two more destinations here. The first one is saving log messages to files, to a simple flat file, and also to a JSON formatted file. So you can see all the name value pairs in this file. And we also have a Slack destination where we send alerts about network connections we detect using the Pattern-DB parser. So we send alerts to Slack, and we use a template to format these log messages where we include the date and the IP address of the host from the network connection. And here comes the heart of the configuration. It's the log path. As you can see, you can do a lot more than simply list the building blocks one after the other. The log path starts with including the source where we collect log messages. We make sure that we use the XML parser to parse all of the log messages except for ones coming from a given application. Then we use the Pattern-DB parser to find IP addresses in a connection logs we are parsing. And if we find these IP addresses, then we save an alert about it in a local text file and also to the Slack destination we defined earlier. And finally, we are also use two destinations we defined earlier. So we are writing text files for long-term storage and also to the Elasticsearch destination for dashboarding and stuff like that. And here you can see a screenshot from Slack where SysLogNG could send alert if there was a connection it detected in the log messages. Next, I want to speak a bit about OpenTelemetry. This is one of the possible futures for log management. Today, logs, traces, and metrics are often collected separately from each other by multiple applications. As I mentioned earlier, even for logs, there are multiple applications and often collected logs are often collected parallelly by various applications. The log management layer I mentioned can simplify this to a single application, and OpenTelemetry combines logs, traces, and metrics into a single protocol and application. So it can simplify data collection even further. OpenTelemetry is an industry standard. It's supported both by commercial vendors and many open source projects. OpenTelemetry support in SysLogNG is quite new, less than a year old, but SysLogNG can already collect OpenTelemetry data. It can parse it and also send OpenTelemetry data. It's a pretty new technology, which also means that It needs up-to-date dependencies to get it compiled. From the SUSE point of view, it means that OpenTelemetry support is only available in OpenSUSE Tumbleweed. You cannot compile it even for OpenSUSE Leap, as dependencies included in Leap are too old for this. And we did some experiments, and you can also use OpenTelemetry between SysLogNG instances. We have now an open SysLogNG OTLP destination and source as well, which means that you can forward logs and all of the related name value pairs between SysLogNG instances easily. Why is it important? Because OpenTelemetry, the OpenTelemetry protocol scales a lot better than the SysLog protocol, as it has built-in support for parallelization. So instead of using a single connection between two hosts, OpenTelemetry can use many more as you configure it. And not just that, but you can also use compression with OpenTelemetry, which means that you can save lots of bandwidth between hosts. So even if your infrastructure is not yet prepared for OpenTelemetry, it's still useful to use this protocol if you have large traffic, if you have forward lots of log messages between SysLogNG instances. Let me summarize my talk. Center logging is not just useful for you, but it's also a requirement in many industries. Using a dedicated log management layer can save you both computing and network resources and greatly simplify your IT infrastructure. One of the tools to implement center logging is SysLogNG. And implementing OpenTelemetry can further simplify your IT infrastructure. Thank you for your attention, and time for questions. SysLogNG is part of OpenSUSE. I'm the package maintainer there. So you can easily install it and use it. Right now, OpenSUSE doesn't... Sorry? Yes.
How would you integrate SysLogNG with the various sources of log generation on the main thing?
Sorry. So how would you integrate the various sources of log message generation on an open source system with the daemon that I understand this is and the config files that you showed here?
SysLogNG can read log messages from the journal. and forward them to many different destinations. So what I have seen many times that I have this log analytics application, then I install these applications to forward log messages from the journal to there, then there is another application analytics tool, then they use a different application to forward log messages from the journal or from Apache Logs or whatever applications you are running on the host. You can do with SysLogNG and some of the other applications listed there, that instead of running probably three or four different applications to read the journal and other logs, you install a single application, collect it centrally, and then from the central location you parse the log messages there and distribute to your Elasticsearch, to your MongoDB or whatever destination, only the logs what are really needed there. So logs travel only once on your network instead of multiple times. You do not need three different applications to collect the very same log messages.
My question was not about like the use cases for using SysLogNG, but rather about the usability. But we can follow up after the talk if there's other people that want to ask questions.
The use case for SysLogNG is usually that...
What I meant is I have to sit down and, you know, like write from scratch a config file that defines, you know, like all the sources that are potentially available on my OpenSUSE system, and then decide, you know, where exactly what I want to do with them. There is like no way to have like, you know, cascaded config files where, you know, like some snippets could be installed like from packages that you or other open source OpenSUSE maintainers provide, right? Is that what you're saying?
It's possible. The default SysLogNG configuration includes something called the system source, which means that it discovers the local log sources automatically. In case of SUSE, it means it finds the journal. But you can run the very same configuration on FreeBSD, and then it knows that it needs to read the dev log and another log source and so on. So that way you can simplify your configurations, and it also supports, I do not know that applications which are automatically dropping configuration samples to a given directory, but it SysLogNG is prepared for it, so there is a directory called etc syslogng conf.d where you can drop configuration snippets. And I know quite a few places where people are actually using it for their own software. HPC environments where they configure SysLogNG this way.
Thank you.
Any more questions? Then thank you for your attention. And I'm here, so you can still find me and ask questions in person.
Okay,
thank you.